today I posted a blog about how to ground yourself.
There you go.
And it's 6 pages long.
It's quite a blog. My blogs are more like, I just wrote a blog yesterday that I'm going to put on my coaching site. And it's, I think, 17 bullet points.
That's good.
I love bullet points. I don't like paragraphs so much.
Well, mine is broken out and there's different ways. Like some of it's funny and some of it's serious and some of it's just so you can have access to good podcasts and TV shows. It's just a very comprehensive blog. So I posted it on Team Zen and on Zen Parenting. So please read.
Yeah. And we'll probably put it in the newsletter too eventually. So I'm seeing the microphones are in red, and I wonder if that means that you guys cannot unmute yourself. So Sean, just for kicks, will you try to unmute yourself and make sure it works?
I think it's just an upgraded version.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm still adjusting. Yeah. So my name's Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 82.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to our second of the week. And I don't know, we're not making any plans on how many, but it seems like we've been on a pace of 2 per week versus 2 per month. So nobody had any questions.
Anita had a question.
Anita had a question. And then I also want to say before we started, I sent a video, a long video, hour and 20 minutes, but there was something specific. There's a 15-minute part where one of my mentors, his name is Jim, talked about how to deal with our kids when they're not doing what we want them to do. So if anybody wanted to react to that or saw it, I would love to talk about that. But we'll start with Anita. Millie loved that video. Good.
Me too. Anita is with, her kids are around, so she can't say it out loud. We were supposed to read it and respond to it.
I don't have it.
I do. Okay. It was on the...
Is it on the Team Zen page?
Yeah. Here, you can take a look and I can start talking. Hold on 1 second. For those of you, while I'm getting this, the post that Todd is talking about, it's a long video, but you only have to watch a certain part. And it kind of, what would you call him? Your teacher, your mentor?
He's a
trainer.
Yeah, he's a mentor.
Well, he does a really good job kind of explaining how we want our kids to do certain things and why we think they need to, and why we think they need to feel a certain way, and why we're not in control of how other people feel, which is going to be similar to what we're going to talk to Anita about here. But I think, and Todd, you may want to speak to it more. I don't want to over, it's no. Your video. Did you want to say something?
Well, to be honest with you, I remember being, you know, because this is a lot of what I'm learning through talking to my sweetie and going through my coaching program. And it's weird because whenever anybody comes to me with a problem, I find myself going back to the basics, which is, okay, what are you feeling right now?
Right.
And I sometimes, my conditioning is I want to jump to content, which is, oh, your kid's doing this, then you do that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of the times I'm jumping over certain things and going directly to content. And I know it can sometimes be exhausting. Like, I know, I get it. I'm supposed to notice my feelings and I'm supposed to see how I'm projecting whatever I feel inadequate about myself onto somebody else, or I'm uncomfortable with my son or my daughter's discomfort, but now just tell me what to do. Huh. And it's really, but I would say for any problem that I have, it always comes back to, you know, the two words that I brought back from my trip to California, which was my first intensive training thing for this coaching program, is awareness and acceptance. We are not going to get anywhere until first we have an awareness of what are we feeling right now. So your kid's driving you crazy for whatever reason. What are your feelings? And I, as a guy who has been conditioned not to feel my feelings, tend to jump over that part and just try to fix it. Kind of like how you and I got into an intense discussion last week. You came to me with an issue and I jumped over that I was sad that you were frustrated. And instead I'm like, why don't you try to do this? And yeah, that didn't land well. So awareness is the first thing. And acceptance is the other thing. And we've been talking about more about acceptance on these Zen Talks over the last, I think, month or two, more intensely, just because it's a tool in my toolbox that I keep bringing up. But to truly, like even when Millie was talking the other day about one of her kids, and we think we can accept from our head.
Was it Millie, or are you talking about Emily's story?
I know. I feel like it was Millie. I was challenging Millie. I'm going to bring her in just for kicks because I know Millie's not shy.
Because Millie's used to Todd.
I know.
Millie knows Todd.
I'm trying to unmute her and it's not working. So hang on a second. There you go. Millie, was I challenging you with having radical acceptance and
surrender?
That's what it was. And then you said, like, I thought I was. And then you're like, after some more introspection, I don't think I was. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah. I think I'm doing it all right. Not really. But, and then I realized, no, I'm not really surrendering. I still have my type A control freak. Yeah, that's who I am. I mean, I'm aware of it, but that's who I am. Mm. So yeah, I'm not really surrendering, but I'm slowly working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like you can say, okay, now I get it. I'm going to surrender whenever a problem comes up. You can't do that. You can't decide for tomorrow or next week or next month. You can only surrender to the moment. So,
well, and I think, you know, and I think Millie and Todd, and I think all of you would agree with me on this, is that what comes first is the intellectual awareness about what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. where we'll read a book or we'll hear something on a podcast and we'll go, oh, that makes sense to me. That resonates. I like that. I'm going to start talking about that. I'm going to start believing that. But putting it into practice is a whole nother thing, because putting it into practice is uncomfortable. The awareness and the resonance feels good because we're like, ooh, I get that. And that makes sense. And that makes pieces fit together. But the practice is uncomfortable. And I'll use Lauren's question on the Facebook page the other day as an example. And I don't need to go through. I think Lauren got what she needed from it. But she was, it's very similar to a lot of people's questions. So, you know, we're really not just talking about her. We're talking about everybody. Her question was that her son wanted to play his own music. She wanted to play her music. She started by saying he can get sensitive. He is sensitive. He gets frustrated easily. He gets agitated easily. And she wanted to listen to her music. And she was just like, how, you know, and she's with them all day. You guys know the whole thing. But basically, I wrote back to her and said, you can listen to your music. It's okay. And you can tell him, I know you want to listen to your music, but right now I'm going to listen to my song. And the thing that I said to her is, he's going to get mad. What you're uncomfortable with is you don't ever want him to get mad. Mm-hmm. And you're uncomfortable with mad. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand being uncomfortable with hitting, thrashing, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, okay. But we are so uncomfortable with what questions you guys often ask, or how do I get my kid to stop feeling this way? Or how do I do everything so my kid will never feel this way? Mm. And that those things are impossible. So the whole thing about, and we're not going to do things where we're like, I'm always going to listen to my music and you never get to, but it's okay occasionally to disappoint. Like when a 3-year-old's like, I want my music every time, they're probably getting it 80% of the time. But if you're unloading the dishwasher and you're like, I'm going to listen to the Beatles for 20 minutes. And they're like, no, it's like, it's okay to say, you know what? I know you're frustrated, but I am going to do this, because that's a learning experience in itself.
But let's stop there. So you're like, when you said, I know, that's when you respond to the kid, I know, even that microsecond, there's an awareness and acceptance that needs to happen in order for you to say, I know, from an open state.
Right. Not like stop it, because if you come back and say, you shouldn't feel this way, you get to listen to your music 80% of the time, don't make me feel bad. You know, I'm going to be.
That's something that happens inside of us.
Right.
We're frustrated and we're going to project that frustration out instead of.
We're frustrated that they're frustrated because we're always giving and we're giving more and we want to listen to song and we want everyone to understand us, but he's 3 mm-hmm. and he won't. And for some of you who are like, my kid's 12. They may not understand too. Skylar's in here right now. I'm not going to make you come over, Sky, but Skylar and I were having a good conversation the other day where we were talking about a morning. She was having a difficult time. It was a long time ago, but when she was going to school, and I was really trying to support her in her feelings. And she said, I hope this is okay that I say this, Sky, but then thank you, honey. And then she said, she goes, well, yeah, she goes, you really weren't doing anything wrong. I was just being really difficult and I was frustrated. Now, she couldn't in that moment, that day, say that, because people who are frustrated and annoyed don't say that. Do you do that? Are you, when you're mad, like, I'm just mad and I'm going to be mad? You can see that later. So this is my whole point of when a kid is frustrated or mad, it's okay, because they'll be able to understand it later. You will be able to understand it later, but it's the discomfort with them ever feeling anything other than joy that we struggle with.
And it makes me think of when Rachel Simmons was speaking at her conference, mm-hmm. and you know, the moment where your kids are like, oh, I think Jim may have talked about it on the video yesterday. Yeah. I'm so glad that you taught me this thing.
Mother, you've made me so much wiser.
That never...
ever.
That barely will ever, ever, ever happen. And I feel like us parents are always like waiting for that moment to be like, now I understand.
Right.
Now I understand why you did what you did.
Well, we talk to our kids as if they are peers or that they are where we are in our brain development. And so when we say something to them like, but you got to listen to your music 80% of the time, it's just fair that it's my turn. We think, and sometimes they do, if they have a sense of maturity or practice with this, they will say, okay, it's not that they can never do that,
sure.
But you have to, you know, allow for the space for them to like, when will our kids ever get permission to feel mad, frustrated, sad? Like, it's like we never want them to ever experience that, yet we want to say all feelings are okay. You know, it doesn't make sense. So the reason I went down that path is because when Todd's talking about awareness and acceptance, that's what he's saying. Be aware of what's coming up, and you can accept even something like mad or discomfort. What we want to do is we want to go, I need to change it. I need to change it. I need to jump out of this now. And that's our work, because if you are comfortable with mad or sad, your children know you have the space for it and they'll move out of it. Mm-hmm. They'll move through it. But if we are pushing away from it and repressing it or suppressing it, then they'll think this is not okay. There's no space for this. And this is so big. Like, I hate to speak generally. I like specifics. Do we want to go through?
So a few things before. I want to read what Millie said, because I think it's important. And then I'm going to do a little bit of maintenance, and then we'll start with Anita.
Okay.
So Millie said, one of the messages that I was reminded from the video you sent is to first acknowledge them by Dan Siegel, the four S's: make them feel seen, make them feel safe, make them feel secure, and make them feel soothed. Acknowledge that whatever they're feeling is totally okay. After the four S's, you might still give them the TV or the treat, but you're then doing it from a place of presence.
Exactly.
And not triggered action. Yep. Need to remember this.
Yep.
And Tina says, parenting is the ultimate pay it forward endeavor, which I agree with. So
totally.
I'm going to acknowledge everybody on this call. So I want to say hi to Judy, Sean, Donelda, Millie, Kim, Lindsay, Nikki, Jennifer, Kristen, Carney, Jen, Peg, Anita, Emily, Tina, Helen, Elizabeth, Amanda, Karen, Diane. I think it's Carolyn, Ashley, and Laura, but
no,
I'm not sure.
It's Chesa, isn't it? No.
No, Chesa we can usually see. So you don't have to show your camera. There's, I think, 6 or 7 people that aren't showing.
Yeah, you don't have to show.
You don't have to, but if you want to, that's fine too.
Especially in pandemic sweatpants days.
We can't see your sweatpants though, sweetie. Let's see them.
I wear sweatpants.
I can't get my leg that high.
I know. Well, I'm a yoga teacher, you know? I can do these things. Can I tell the story really quick?
Tell the story, and then I'm just going to give some instructions, because there's some newbies on here too.
Okay. So sorry, newbies. This is not important, but I'm going to share it anyway.
We share a lot of unimportant stuff.
So 2 years ago, I was at H&M with my daughter, JC, and she found these sweatpants that looked really cute on her, because she's, you know, she's 17 now and everything. And I was like, ooh, I want sweatpants like that, because they're like, not so like old school 80s sweatpants. And I got a pair and I loved them. And then I went back and got 2 more and I wore them occasionally. I mean, what would I have done in this pandemic without these sweatpants? Like, I literally, I feel sorry for people who have to wear jeans every day. Like, oh, you're wearing shorts.
It's nice out.
That's my story.
Millie said we saw Todd in his Lebowski robe and hair.
Right?
I know.
Todd was giving all of you a big hug.
Virtual hug.
While drinking his white Russian.
That's right.
Hi, sweet. Did you want to say hi?
This is our daughter, Skylar.
Hey, Skylar, this is Emily. This is Emma's mama right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
And so she got Emma's letter yesterday, Emily.
Oh, wait. We might be seeing Emma in a second, because Emily's moving.
Emma might come on.
Oh, there's Emma.
She is.
Here, we got to at least have these two people say hi to each other.
That's Skylar. I can't see her really good. You see Skylar?
Why did somebody type something to you?
That's a chat. She got your letter yesterday.
Yes. Oh, so
she'll
great.
Write you back today, Emma, okay?
Hey, I did it!
Pen pals in action. Love it. Okay. So for those of you who are new, we go through, you guys have questions, need support, whatever. So you could either type in the chat box saying, hey, I have a question, and we'll do our best to get to it. Sometimes we have a bunch and we can't get to everybody. Or you can just like literally raise your hand and I can see that you want to get a question answered. But we're going to start with Anita. Do you have Anita's question?
Well, I can't remember where it is, but I can give you kind of an overview, okay? I didn't see it on the Teams M page, so it may have come in an email.
Okay.
Basically, she was saying that that the days have been hard because her relationship with her 12-year-old is really challenged, and there is a lot of, like, animosity. And she's feeling that in the home, the tension is really big, and even though there's tension between other people in the home, too, what's happening between she and her daughter is really breaking her spirit.
How old is her daughter?
12.
Okay.
And that she feels the feelings that are starting to come up for her are very uncomfortable, okay, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Like when you're angry with someone consistently, it starts to feel like really yucky, like you don't want to hang out with them at all. And so first of all, I'm just glad you got to write all that, Anita, because even the writing of it is a release. It's like taking pressure out of the balloon. And you're not alone. Like I'm sure there's other people on this call who feel similarly, who are, you know, if you have a different way of being than one or two or three of your children, and you are having to interact with them all day long for long periods of time, it can be really challenging. My suggestion is going to be a little more practical than usual, which will be surprising to you.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are working online now, therapists and coaches, and Todd and I are even talking about figuring out if we can do this too, or if we have the space to do this. But I feel like, Anita, for this time, while you are getting through this these days, that you need, or not need is the wrong word, but you would benefit from having someone that you talk to every 3 or 4 days to get you in a space where you can manage what's happening. Because what that means is you having someone that you're talking to and them giving you feedback. And I'm thinking a parent coach, and I'm happy to direct you to some. And you can find somebody that works for you. And I know everybody's working at, there's some people who do some free sessions. Obviously in Team Zen, this is, you know, we can share, but I know I can't focus just in on you, you know, on you the whole time, Anita, but it's so you get in a space to handle the discomfort of your days. Because if you're in a space to do that, the dynamic, I'm not going to say everything's going to change, but it might be easier because right now she is not going to be able to make a lot of adjustments in her grieving and in the stage of development she's in and the way that she's feeling. And it's in, when I say it's all on you, I don't mean like, you know, it's not about a blame thing. It's about you can only do yourself. Like, I don't have any advice for you about here's how you can get your daughter to do this or that, because there's no, this is really just about how you can manage what's happening during the day so you can have some clarity of thinking and feel supported. And then every interaction you have with your daughter will be a little different. And who knows how that will then play out over time. I'm optimistic that it'll shift things a little bit, but there's no magic thing. There's no, like, if you say this or if you do this, it's every day having a practice of, you know, first of all, self-forgiveness and self-compassion of your frustration and anger, because it's okay to feel those things. Acting on them is a totally different thing, but the feeling of them, normal. You know, normal.
Yeah.
So you need a self-compassion practice, and you need someone kind of like a workout partner to hold you accountable of, are you practicing self-compassion? Can you see the bigger picture here? Can you find those spaces of compassion for your daughter? Because that's the door that is closing, is you're not feeling the compassion for her anymore, which understandably, you don't have to feel bad, but we want to keep that door open. So you can, when she's even being super difficult, you still are like, okay, so I'm going to, so go ahead.
So it seems like one like sentence summary, what you just said is, it wouldn't hurt to have some support. And I would say that to all of us, including me. I was just on a coaching call with a guy that has been through my program before me. And it was really, really, really beneficial. You know, there are moments where my ego is like, oh, I got this. And I don't.
Right.
And she could help me. But there's messiness with that too. Like when partners are trying to coach each other, sometimes that doesn't work out really well.
Well, that was the argument Todd and I got into last week because it's too long of a story, but sometimes Todd tries to coach me and I feel a little unseen because I'm like, do you remember what I do for a living? Like and that sounds really, I know, egotistic, but what I mean is that Todd has a lot of, like, I wasn't looking for coaching. And here he comes.
I came in wanting to fix. I had my tool belt. I had my wrench. I had my pliers. I had the hammer. I was ready to go.
Well, sometimes he says things to me like, you know, you could really talk to her about your feelings and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, like it doesn't mean that I don't need to hear it. I have my own therapist and I have people that, you know, that I feel supported from, and I read books and all. It's not that I don't need it, but usually from Todd, what I just need is, oh, she pissed you off. That sucks. Because mm-hmm. when he says, you know, you could be vulnerable, I'm like, oh my God.
And we've been married 18 years and I'm still figuring this out. We all are. My goodness. Right? All right. So we're going to go to Kim, and then there's some questions about dopamine. So we might hit some dopamine.
Ooh, I like dopamine. I love serotonin and dopamine.
All right. Hi, Kim.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good, Kim.
I sort of have a two-part question, and I was hoping Chuck could be here, but he had to be in Alabama today. So I'm going to try to not spin it my direction, because I'm hoping to let him listen to it. And it's a sort of a two-parter, but I have a daughter who's 16. Panic attacks can suffer from debilitating anxiety. We thought homeschooling would be better for her, even though she's been great going to school. Homeschooling is not doing so well. I'm like, she wakes me up at 3:00 every morning. She wants me to sit with her while she does her homework, because it's just the opening of the computer and whatever, whatever. So that's that. And then at dinner, we've all been together, which we usually always eat dinner together at some point, but not every night together for all this time. And of course, the two daughters, 15, 16, talking about the TikToks, talking about the Kardashians, and I could just, he's just steaming. So that was like over the point, and I'm like, what gets you angry? Well, I want to talk about, I'm like, well, interject or say it's my turn, or, you know, so we talk about that. Well, last night it was, I was trying to be funny and diffuse it, like, okay, I don't want to hear about that. What's going on other than that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, he just lost it. I don't want to hear your music. It sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, blah, 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 blah. And so after it was all done, I think my youngest daughter felt put upon, because he had it sort of adjusted to her. Mm-hmm. And he went in and talked to her. I said, you know, you hurt her feelings. She felt like it was all about her always being on her phone. She is on her computer all day long with school. She has 4 or 5 phone calls going all the time. She is miss talking on the phone, like literal screen of 5 people talking on the phone to whatever. So yes, she is always there, but comes to dinner, no phone. Usually at school, there's no phones at school, blah, blah, blah. So we had this really long conversation. I said, so what do you want to have happen? And it all kind of boiled down to, while I'm eating dinner, I don't want to hear, I'm going to say words, people, so I don't know if you have little ones there. He doesn't want to hear about blowjobs. He doesn't want to hear about banging pussy. Mm. I mean, like, you know, the music that is on the TikToks. Mm. We're in a generation that we're not even supposed to ask a woman if we can't kiss her. And this is what they're listening to. I mean, and I'm like, I agree with you. Mm. I wish they weren't listening to it. I wish that they weren't on their phones. I wish they were born in the 1900s where, you know, or back in our day when we rode our bikes. Mm-hmm. I wish all these things, but this is what it is. They're 15 and 16. I'm not real sure where we're going with that other than have a connection with them. Now they're not going to want to come to dinner. And that's their choice. I don't know that that's true, but it's not, they're going to be just going eat and leave. So I don't know. I mean, he's like, Grit, they need to have it. I mean, he went on this, you know, we're not teaching them. You're sitting there with her while she's doing her homework. How's she going to learn? And I'm just like, whoa, mm-hmm. You're assuming all of this stuff that hasn't happened. So anyway, right. We can go on. But that's sort of the gist of, like, I feel like I'm right. Not right, but I'm like, or maybe I'm not. Like, I do agree, but I don't know how to make him feel better about it.
Yeah. I Todd will go first and then I'll go.
So Chuck, I know Chuck. Mm-hmm. Chuck was on our retreat. I love Chuck. I can say that. I love Chuck. Chuck
talks about him all the time.
And I know he'll listen to this after the fact. This is all about you. This is all about you. This is not about your 15 and 16 year old daughters. This is an opportunity for you to learn how you can manage your own triggers. That doesn't mean kind of like the video, I would encourage Kim to have Chuck watch the 15 minutes of the video I posted, and maybe Millie can put that YouTube clip in the show notes as our secretary, even though we've never even asked Millie to be our secretary. She seems to be good at posting stuff. I would have him write that, because it's not that you don't set the boundaries at the dinner table.
She's office manager.
Office manager, sorry. But I'm thinking of secretary like a board member.
I know, but
not like,
let's give her a better title.
Not from like a 50s secretary. Sorry, let's go back to Chuck.
Okay.
So, and same as like with Anita, like Chuck, you need to be able to put yourself in a place where you can express some of these built up resentments that you have about society, that you have about your daughters engaging in some of the things that you don't want to engage in. So these are all opportunities for you to look at this. And then one thing I also thought of is what's wrong is always available. So right now, Chuck, you're focusing on that your daughters are doing TikTok, your daughters are bringing, do you need me?
I just wanted Cameron to say hi because she's never here, and she's, JC and Skylar have said hi a lot. So Cameron's just saying hi. Hi. Bye, honey.
Do you want to help Chuck? He's got some problems with a 16-year-old.
You're 15.
Hey, so what would you say to Chuck? His daughters are watching TikTok and they're on their phone too much. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a problem for everyone at my school.
What she said is that's a problem for everyone at my school. So the one thing is, actually, you can get some teaching from that. This is something that these kids do. This is a very normal thing. So I feel like Chuck is swimming against the current.
Right.
The current is 16-year-olds watch TikTok and listen to this music, and he's trying to not accept the isness of the situation, which is this is what these girls do. So, and then a few other things, and then you can go.
Okay.
You're focusing on what your daughters are doing wrong. I'm guessing your daughters are doing a lot of right things. And one of my favorite quotes from Tony Robbins is, what's wrong is always available, and so is what's right. So Chuck, can you figure out, set some intention on focusing on some of the things that these ladies are doing well. And then if there's certain things that you know drive you nuts, which is the phone at dinner or whatever, then you need to like set some boundaries from an above the line place, which is, listen, I'm not going to ask a lot. I'm going to ask these three things: no phone at dinner, no, and insert two more things. And then other than that, you kind of have to let go of the rope. So,
yeah, I was going to say that conversation is conversation, and we don't want to micromanage what a conversation is about. And when our kids are the age they are, and when they're stuck at home listening to music and doing TikTok and everything is what they do. And so basically what we're saying when we say you shouldn't be doing this, or I don't want to hear these words, or I don't want to hear this language, is I don't want to hear what you're doing and what you're interested in. And what I will say, just as kind of a reminder, is that, and you know, and again, I don't know what Chuck, you know, I know he's a musician and I don't know what he listened to when he was younger, but you know, I grew up with Madonna and Prince, right? And I was doing a lot of, you know, Like a Virgin stuff and Little Red Corvette stuff. And it doesn't mean I was doing any of that. Does that make sense? I didn't know what Darling Nikki was about. I didn't understand all the, and I, even when I was 15 or 16, I sang the words. You know, I think I've said this before, but I used to have like two Live Crew albums. Like I used to have a really crass taste in music, and it was never who I was. It was just what I enjoyed listening to at the time. Todd and I used to love Rex and Effect. Remember?
No.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Come shake your rump. All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
So my point is, but we don't like practice what Rex and Effect practices. Do you know what I mean? And I think sometimes as parents, we have to remember that. Sorry. Where are you going, Cam? Cam loves Rex and Effect.
Cameron just rolled her eyes at me.
This is shocking. But my point is that I think sometimes we'll be like, you're listening to this music, you're watching the show, this is what you'll become. And that's not, I mean, I know for some kids, they emulate certain people, but that's not always true. And if we can keep conversations going, like, the question, Duffy is really good about this with teenagers. He asks really good questions about like, what when you're listening to that song, why do you like it? What's speaking to you about it? Not in a, why do you like it, like exasperated way, but tell me. And usually it's things like, everyone else knows the words, we can dance to it. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it. That's what they used to say on American Bandstand all the time. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh. So Cameron, what's your favorite song? Yeah.
Fear by Ben Rector.
Ben Rector is low key. He's not, he doesn't swear. But I guess my point is I'm going all over the place, but I think the point is, and this is for everybody, not just Chuck and not just for Kim's question, but we bring a lot of fear to the things that our kids are telling us. It goes back to them being mad or sad or whatever, instead of just being curious, because obviously I would love if my kids listen to things all the time that were pure and lovely and inspired them, but they need both. It's like when my kids were little, I wrote this whole thing I remember about how JC always wanted to be the villain when she would play with her friends. She wanted to be the bad witch and she wanted to be like the monster and her being my firstborn, it always kind of freaked me out. Like, why? But they need to feel these things and listen to these songs and dance these dances. And it doesn't really have, listening to the music doesn't mean that they aren't respecting what consent means. They're not parallel things. And the music actually gives us good opportunity. And I already know you and Chuck do this, Kim, so I'm preaching the choir here, but great opportunity to talk about these things. And Todd does a good job, I think, of telling the girls how he feels with humor rather than fear. He'll say things like, oh, that song just... He'll make a joke about it, but he'll be honest that he doesn't like it. He doesn't have to pretend, hey, I'm going to listen to it too. But he's not saying, that's horrible. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a little lighter. It's like, ugh.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Millie because she wants to add something. But then I want to go back to Kim because I feel like we got to one part and not the other. So hold on. Go ahead, Millie.
Yeah. So this reminded me of a note that I took from yesterday, the video that I watched yesterday. Because I need to apply this to our lives about screen time here, is that when we set those boundaries, that we have to do it from above the line, we know that. But specifically, he was saying, not from a righteous or right perspective, that we don't, being like when we want to be right and explain why you shouldn't have more screen time or listen to the wrong music, blah, 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 from research and all this, is coming from a righteous place.
Yeah.
And we're saying, I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, and I think he gave the example of, okay, like you can wrote it down here, like the real reason why I'm going to turn off the TV right now is because I'm kind of scared.
Yeah.
I'm making up some story why it's not good for you, but I don't even know what the research is, but I'm scared and I want to honor my feelings. Mm. So this kind of reminded me of going back to therapy 101 or, you know, where you always talk about your feelings, right? You don't tell the other person what they should be doing, but you just go from your own feelings, right? And so I thought that was an aha moment for me, is that don't try to convince the kid that you're right and you're right, you know, you're coming from that righteous point of view, because that is fighting from below the line.
Nice.
So that was my Millie.
Love that.
We're going to head back over to Kim because we've been doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, which part have we missed?
That's all great. I mean, I'll let him listen to it. I think that it all, and I asked him last night, I'm like, where, you know, where's this coming from? What is it? And we kind of narrowed it down to, like, he thinks that we're doing a disservice by allowing them to just go to school and not have a job and not, you know, like, and I said, well, that doesn't mean they're not going to work hard when they get older. Like, just because I'm sitting with her because she has anxiety today doesn't mean she's not going to go off to college and get a job and work hard. Like, I don't know, he just was like, he's just comparing their life to his life, which he knows isn't the right thing to do, and he doesn't do it to them, he does it to me, but it just, you know, he just feels that we're doing a disservice. And I said, well, at this point, everything we've done is who they are, and we model, I mean, that's it. As far as I'm concerned, like, I don't feel like I've got any control over my 16-year-old other than to continue to be my best person and to connect with her if she needs me. Like, I'm not going to take her phone away. I mean, you know, if it comes down to it, I'll stop paying the bill. But that's, you know, then it's up to her to pay the bill.
So
I just don't know.
We talked a lot about Chuck and Kim. I kind of, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're kind of in this tug of war between your 16-year-old and your husband. And I just want to check in with you and ask you how you are doing in this regard.
Well, I'm good. I mean, I always feel bad because I do get put in the middle. Like they get in a fight and then I've got to either side with him or side with her or do nothing. And doing nothing, my daughter then says, you don't ever stick up for yourself. And I'm like, I wasn't in the fight. Mm. Or if I try to work it out, he doesn't feel supported. So yeah, I do get put in the middle. But then he and I can go talk about it, which doesn't really show the resolution to the kids. But if we do talk about it, he does go back and say things. I mean, he's not a tyrant at all. I mean, you know him. But he does get emotional. There's something there that really pisses him off. He feels that we're at dinner, it should have certain conversation. Now, his dad wouldn't let the children at dinner at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where he grew up was dad eats dinner alone, quiet peace. No one talks to him, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know.
So, Kim, two things. Number one, just like a reframe, I feel like all I'm going to do is give a reframe. The first one is if your kids ever say you're not standing up for yourself, you can explain to them that sometimes not getting involved is standing up for yourself. Don't allow them to dictate what that means, is that sometimes saying I'm not choosing a side because I don't feel like a side needs to be chosen is standing up for myself. Like a lot of times there is because basically what they're trying to say is you know, choose. It's binary. And not everything is binary. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not getting involved at all. And that's how I stand up for myself. That's my backbone, is I know that I'm not going to do that. The other thing I was going to say is that there is this belief system we have that it's ingrained in us no matter what, that whatever we were raised with is what made us who we are. Now, true, right? But we get a very narrow vision of if this hadn't happened, this hadn't happened, this hadn't happened, I wouldn't be who I am. So my kids have to have somewhat of a similar experience or else they will not become who they are. And there's nothing true about that. Everybody, it's like there are no linear paths. There are no actual things that everybody can still get to where they are. It's like sliding doors. You know that movie, like where, you know, if you go this way, this will happen. If you go this way, but then you all end up in the same place. There's actually a great word for it that I learned on Dax Shepherd's podcast. It starts with a but it means that we all end up where we need to go, but in a different way at a different time with different experiences. And the point is could it be true that you sitting with your daughter while she's anxious is helping her develop a sense of strength in herself where she will be able to go forward and work? We don't believe that. We don't trust that. We're like, if I help them, they will not thrive because I needed to be left alone, yelled at, nobody took care of me, and that's how I learned. And that could be true for that person, but could it also be true that the person who is listened to, nurtured, develops a sense of self in a different way? And this is what we don't trust. We keep trying to go back to an old model, which can be okay sometimes if it's something that was healthy. But I think it's like, if you help her, she will not get a job. There's nothing true about that. You might find that when you help her, especially now in the midst of a pandemic, asking our kids to do too many different things right now does not make a lot of sense. There's way too much uncertainty and energy going on. So I'm trying to demonstrate both sides. Like, I understand where Chuck is coming from because he does have this experience of, these are the things I learned and that's why I am who I am. But what he needs to trust is that his daughters and you learn differently, are having different experiences, and they will still become who they are. And that is still possible, and possibly even more possible because connection has been created with their parents. So that'll be my
hopefully question. That helps a little, Kim. And then I guess in closing, before we move on to the dopamine question, so when I was telling Chuck, who isn't on here but will be listening, that it's all about you, it's the same for all of us. Like, whatever issue I have, it's all about me. So I wasn't saying, Chuck, you're wrong. It's whenever there's anything that's upset, It's an inside job. And we have to kind of go through this process that Kathy and I are talking about, awareness, acceptance, above the line, below the line, all that stuff, to arrive at a place where then you can respond to your kid.
And every feeling we have, Chuck's feeling, Kim's feeling, Millie's feeling, any of our feelings, get us to that awareness. Mm-hmm. It's not you did this wrong.
Yeah, this is an opportunity for you to learn something about yourself. It's not a fun opportunity. It takes work and there's emotions that come up as a result of it, but this is us peeling the onion back from all the crap that we got when we were growing up, because most of the stuff that we're projecting onto our kids is unresolved shit that we did not deal with.
And we will say, but I've already looked at that. I've already dealt with that, but you dealt with it up here. You didn't deal with it in here. And you're still responding as if I've got the information, but your response is still the same as it was when you were a kid.
And the way you know it is your commitment is the way you know if you've done your work is how you respond in these situations.
In the moment.
And there could be tomorrow night, there could be TikTok at the dinner table at Chuck and Kim's, and Chuck's fine with it. And then the next day, he's not fine with it. So it's not like I've arrived at this destination where now I am zen and I'm peaceful and I know how to deal with my daughters. It's a moment-to-moment decision response. And that's, you can look at it like it's an obstacle or, hey, this is fun. Let's figure out, wow, I just got triggered. How am I inserting myself into this situation?
Hi, Birdie. And one thing that might be fun, and Chuck, this is up to you. You don't have to do this, but what if you found a TikTok dance or a song that wasn't offensive to you and you did it with your girls? You don't have to do a song that offends you. I would never ask you to do that. But what if you did TikTok with them and had that connection?
Or Chuck is a songwriter.
Or did something for TikTok. Post it.
Write a song and title it TikTok. See what happens.
Yes.
All right. So Helen had a question. I don't know if I have enough context to it.
Okay.
But she said she tried to explain dopamine to her 9-year-old.
Okay.
And she doesn't feel like she did a particularly good job. And she's wondering if we can help them understand what dopamine is.
Sure. I can do a layman's, you know, like I love neurobiology, but I don't have the best. I'm not a doctor. Let's just say that. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
You're a doctor.
Do you remember
of,
those ads?
You're a doctor of love.
Sweetie. I am a doctor of love. I am a doctor of compassion. So anyway, but no, I would just say the way that because I know Helen's daughter is young, is I would just explain that talking and moving and having a good cry and getting fresh air allows our body to secrete these certain chemicals that then come into our brain and give us these good feelings. And we call it dopamine. And if we're sitting around or if we're on our phone too much or if we are not moving and we are focusing on things that don't feel good, we don't get as many dopamine releases. Those chemicals can't get released as well. And so you don't need to really get into the deep neurobiology. You can show her some pictures, but when I tell my girls to go outside, I don't say go outside because you need to exercise or anything like that. I say go outside because taking a deep breath actually allows your brain to start secreting these kind of good chemicals, you know, these good feelings. And on the other side, things like cortisol is secreted when you're stressed, and that makes your body go into like fight or flight. And so your body has these like natural ways of functioning that they know exactly what to do. Your body knows exactly what to do depending on what you're thinking or what you're taking in. So you have to be thoughtful about what you're thinking and taking in so your body knows what chemicals to release. So when you explain that to kids, and again, I don't know if I did a good job there, but then going outside is not because you want them to, it's because going outside helps them like get some dopamine. And obviously we all know what endorphins are, right? Where you work out really hard.
I get dopamines, endorphins, and serotonin all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon Sinek has a really good 10 or 15 minute YouTube clip about how each one of them are related and not related.
Ooh, I would love that.
So maybe I can find that. I'll try to put it in the show notes or the chat on this.
And serotonin basically, and he's, you know, Simon Sinek, I say go to his video because he's going to explain it better than I, but you know, SSRIs like our Paxil and our Prozac and you know, what's the other one with the Z, Zoloft, those are called SSRIs, and that's serotonin uptake inhibitors. Am I saying that right?
I don't.
Anyway, what it does is it increases the serotonin going back and forth. And that's what those pharmaceuticals do, or that's what that pharmacology does. But I don't know how it relates to dopamine. Like, I know what they each do, but I don't know how they interact with
each other. I'll try to find it. It'll be optional homework for anybody. And then I also noticed before we go to Jennifer, there's some people doing private messages of supporting one another. And I just want to encourage that. So if you hear somebody talking and you're like, wow, I totally relate, you could either put it in the chat for everybody. But if you want to,
may not have time to go to everybody's, or else we won't have as many questions.
No. I'm talking about somebody just trying to support one another. I'm talking about asking more questions. And then I even think, Millie just may have found that YouTube clip with Simon. So we'll check that out. And then if you guys want to, like, we want to create this community, but we don't want the community only to be on Zen Talk. So if you guys find a connection with one another, specifically like one person you tend to really relate to or connect to,
get phone numbers, text each other,
like connect with each other. As much as we want to be everything to everybody, that's silly. We can't, but we can certainly be a vehicle for you guys to have more close connections with each other. Because I don't know about you guys, I have two next door neighbors. This one I like, but I don't really know. This one I love, but most of the people on my block, I don't really feel like hanging with. I'd rather hang with you guys, but you guys are not here. So
we love our neighbors.
So you're here on my screen, but that's about as close. So we can do that now. So, and you know, get creative, FaceTime or whatever. So, all right, heading over to Jennifer. Hang on. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, everybody. I just want to say thank you again to you guys for increasing the number of Zen Talks. This has been really awesome to have the extra support. And, you know, to everybody on the team who's struggling right now, just want to send love and hugs and light to everybody. I myself have been really struggling. And for some of you who know me from these talks, I'm in the process of getting divorced. It's almost finalized. And I think with this pandemic, it's kind of created a second wave of grief for me because when the kids aren't here, we're still, you know, co-parenting. So even though we're doing social distancing, the kids go to Vinny's and they come here. And I'm having a really hard time when they are not here because before the pandemic, obviously, I could go places and do things and see people. And now I feel really isolated. And I guess the idea of not having a partner, not having another adult, has really hit me and made me feel tremendously lonely. We actually have a little like text group with some of the people who are on the call right now from, we all went to the conference together, and I sent them a text yesterday because I had a total breakdown. I was trying to help my kids. There was an app that wasn't working on their phone, and I spent like 3 hours trying to fix it, and I couldn't do it. And then I just totally melted down, like called Vinny, melted down, called my sister, was crying in front of the kids. And, you know, some of the comments were, it's really not about the app, it's about something deeper. And I know for sure that it's about that really strong feeling of loneliness that I have right now. And so I guess my question is, you know, I read a lot about the fact that you have to be like your own best friend, and you have to love yourself, and you have to feel comfortable being with yourself. I don't know how to do that. I'm kind of like Todd. Like, I like being around people. I like having that social support. I do like taking a break from it sometimes, but for the most part, that's where I get my energy from, that connection with people. And so I obviously, you can't answer, you know, what I can do without having a partner, but, you know, what are ways that you can feel more comfortable being with yourself or learning to be comfortable in, I guess, the loneliness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's a great question. And I think one that I think a lot of people can relate to. And I love the fact that you're sharing that you're lonely. Like, that's a vulnerable place, which is a place of strength, according to me and Kathy and Brené Brown and everybody else. So first I want to bless you just for owning the fact that you're lonely. I guess to dig
who
a little,
isn't?
I guess to dig a little further, Jennifer, if I had to say, ask you to give me one of these four primary feelings, anger, sadness, fear, joy, which of those attaches to loneliness the best?
Sadness.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So you feel sadness. That's a wonderful realization. Is there any place that you are feeling it in your body right now?
Very much in my chest. Like I can't breathe.
Mm. Mm-hmm. See, this is all really good work. So just breathe into that. Just breathe into the sadness that you feel in your chest.
That's where grief lives. Grief lives in the lungs.
I feel it so much.
Because what I do, and I wrote this in my blog, whenever I feel myself getting choked up, I shut that shit down and I either make a joke or I distract myself. And my new learning lesson is to just breathe, to not do any of that. And that doesn't mean tears are going to come or not. But for me, I just need to remember to breathe when I'm having these moments. So I just invite you to do some breathing as the phone rings. And even that's...
I know.
Right. As soon as we accept, everybody comes out of the woodwork. And I would say that I think, you know, like you said, we have to love ourselves and everything. I think that we can love ourselves and still need people at the exact same time. I don't think it's, you know, I need to be comfortable by myself alone. And then that proves I'm a strong person. Like, even as somebody who, you know, I always talk about being introverted and I like being alone, but I need people all the time. Like I can be alone after I've been with people too much. Do you see what I mean? Like if I'm going to go away for 4 days and write, then maybe I know I'm going to write. But if everyone just left for 4 days and I was here by myself, I would miss everyone tremendously. So, and my thought, again, it's interesting. I'm being practical where Todd was just getting into the body a little more, is that I'm finding that online and through our group, there are, like, when you know you're going to have days where the boys are at Vinny's, like, have just a few check-ins during the day. Like, Glennon is doing morning meetings. Mm. And, you know, watch that. Like, be like, okay, I'm going to get my coffee and I'm going to watch the morning meeting. And then maybe a few hours later, if you listen to a podcast or that's when you call your sister, or that's when you call someone on Team Zen, or that's when you write a letter to someone or email. Like, it doesn't, you don't have to like be on the clock about it. It's just when you're having days, instead of saying I shouldn't feel this way, say, oh, there's that lonely. So I am going to find someone virtually, or someone like going to Team Zen, even if you're not asking a question, or watching Glennon virtually, or you even watching a movie that you know touches our heart, that's connection and relational too. That's still connection with human and, you know, humans and humanity. Obviously, hugs and touching is the ideal, but you can just figure out when you're by yourself, just at least two or three ways during that day that you are going to connect, and you know, in whatever ways possible. And sometimes the connection is just through writing to somebody and sharing. You get to decide that, Jen. I'm not going to decide that for you. But I just want you to know that you don't have to be like, oh, I'm not loving myself enough. There's nothing, that's not true.
So I have two other things that I want to hear, Jennifer. The first one is sometimes when we're in such need, we are feeling in like, I need this. And sometimes the quickest path out of getting it is to give it. So I'm sure that there's some divorced men that I know that are going through some tough times right now. And I will reach out to them because I know they're going through an exceptionally tough time right now. So my guess is, Jennifer, because you're a loving, beautiful human being, you probably know a lot of people. Give somebody what you're asking for. So if there's anybody that you think might be going through something similar, then maybe you do that, because then that will fill you up pretty quick. If you give somebody something that you're asking for, I think the universe will conspire to give you what you need, either in the act of you giving this to somebody else, or you do it and then all of a sudden
there's reciprocity.
Somebody checks in on you that you haven't heard from in whatever, but just, you know, Einstein says nothing happens till something moves. When you feel these sadnesses, one is give yourself some space to breathe into it, to express it through tears or punching a pillow or whatever it is. And then once you're done expressing it, then give it to somebody else. And then the other idea I had just in this moment, in my men's group, we're doing something called an SOS call. And the invitation is for anybody in Team Zen. If anybody wants to be on the SOS team, which is basically, if there's a guy who is having a really tough day and he's pulling his hair out and he needs some support right away, that he has a group of men that he can email saying, SOS right now, who's available? And then Sean, myself, and Frank will make sure at least one of us are available. So if anybody wants to be on an SOS team when somebody's having one of those days, you can use the Zoom platform that we have through Team Zen. And it could be as early as I need it in an hour, I need it later tonight, or I need it tomorrow, something in the next 24 hours. If anybody would like to be on that team, please send me an email and I will share the emails of that team with everybody else on the team. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. You're basically, it's a sub team within Team Zen that could be maybe readily, again, you don't have to be ready immediately. Mm-hmm. It may be in a few hours or whatever. Not everybody needs to be on every call.
No. Maybe it's just one person. But the person who's asking for the SOS needs to say, I'm going to be on the Zoom link at 7 o'clock tonight. I need somebody on it.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure that at least one person can be on it. So I don't know if that helps, Jennifer, but it's just an idea I had that we're doing with the men's group and maybe our team would like it as well. So do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think that everything you said is super helpful and I appreciate you reminding me not to beat myself up for the feelings that I'm having because that's kind of my go-to is instead of accepting it and surrendering to it, I start to criticize myself. Like, why can't I handle this better? What's wrong with me?
Right.
Will I ever figure this out? So thank you for reminding me that that's not at all helpful. And I think what happens when I am here by myself, I tend to retreat tremendously into that sadness and loneliness. And instead of doing the thing that would help me the most, reaching out to other people, I don't do that. And so that was really helpful suggestion that I need to focus on that more. So
yeah,
thank you. Thank you as always.
And it's so great because you can do a mixture of both. You can reach out to people that you know get you and you can say, I'm just having a hard time. And you can also just reach out to help someone else. So it just depends on how you feel. Like you have two different options. And you know, what you just said, Jen, just so everybody else can hear this, you know, when we have those moments of, am I ever going to get this? Am I ever going to figure this out? No, you never will. Because you know why? Because you're going to get sad again. You're going to have disappointment again. You're going to have a challenge again. Now, let me also say to balance that, you're going to have happy moments again. You're going to feel joy again. And you're going to feel surrounded by people again. What I'm trying to say is we keep trying to say, oh my God, like, you know, I woke up this morning with a headache, pisses me off. And I want to be like, when will these headaches go away? Possibly never, right? And so what do I do with that information? I may always have, and I don't mean I'm going to have one every day, but getting one isn't a failure. Feeling sad isn't a failure. Having someone disappoint you isn't a failure. It's part of being human. And our ability to accept it rather than self-criticize not only allows it to move through quicker, but we have more tools at our disposal to move through it quicker. You know what I mean?
Okay. The self-criticism definitely shuts me down.
Totally.
And that's exactly what I don't need to be when I'm feeling so sad and lonely.
Yep.
So thank you for that.
You bet.
Good resources, Kristen Neff's page. She's got wonderful exercises and worksheets on self-compassion. Is that right, Kristen Neff?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Kristen Neff.
We're at 61 minutes in. Millie asked a question about the hero instead. Oh, she's waving me off. Maybe we could talk about it next time. And I could also share a video about a deeper explanation of the drama triangle, which is victim, hero, and villain. And I'll put that in the show notes too, if anybody's interested in that. And what else was I going to say? I want to give a shout out. I don't know if this is okay, but it looks like Carney has somebody with her that is a male as a guy
as a male
who feels sometimes lonely because it's usually just me and Sean. I just want to bless and say thank you for joining us. And if any of you other people that have partners who are guys, just if they're interested, invite them along.
Or your kids. Like I love that Lindsay has... Yeah. Her kid. And yeah. is it Tatum or is it, yeah, okay.
Wow, you're and, good. You know, team well, and kids, that's smart.
That's right. Kids are important and they want their name right. Yeah. I did as a kid. I couldn't stand it when people spelled my name with a K. I'd be like, that's not me.
Yeah. Who is that?
Who's Kathy with a K? The other thing I'll say is a lot of things that we've been talking about on Team Zen. Like I said, I wrote a blog and I wrote them into the blog, like about the breathing and about grief. And I share a lot of podcasts and a lot of TV shows. So for the weekend, if you're like, I need some resources, again, it's on the Team Zen page and we'll put it in the show notes of this podcast to the access to this blog. And you know, things are weird.
Yeah.
And, but we have been doing this for 3 weeks. Sometimes, when I'm like, oh, this is so weird and uncertain, it's been weird and uncertain for a long time. And look at us, mm-hmm. we're going, we're doing, we're adapting. And this is what we've always been doing. We just didn't know it mm-hmm. because we didn't have a pandemic going on. This is what life is. Feelings, they're just bigger. Experiences, they're just more uncertain, or we feel that they are. So
yeah, they're under a microscope. And right. this is a really good opportunity to do yeah. some deep self-exploration. When things are going well, you're not learning much. It's more fun. It's more comfortable. But this is when we can really take it. If you want to take advantage of a tough situation, which I think the globe is in right now, this is a perfect playground of learning. About mm-hmm. what triggers us, what scares us,
it's
what makes us.
It's not a fun playground.
It's not a fun playground, but it's a worthy playground.
It's a messy, dirty sandbox.
What makes us sad? What makes us mad? What makes us afraid? Like this is.
I don't like the sandbox.
I like sandbox.
I don't like sand on my feet. Is my aunt still on? There she is. Peg, remember when I didn't like sand on my feet? I still don't really like sand on my feet.
What about the white powdery sand?
I like that sand. I like the dust and sand. We didn't get to go, as nobody did, so I don't feel bad about yeah. it. But
all right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah,
probably,
we'll be back.
Probably early next week. And let me know if you want to get on the SOS team, because we'd like to have at least, I don't know, I have 20 on the guy list. So if I can have about 20 of us, because we have 113 members. Maybe 20% of us want to be on that team, because if there's only four, it might be rough. So that's it. Peace and gratitude. Love and
we love
connection.
You.
Keep trucking. Adios.
That feels good to stretch like that.